only at Starbucks, at the airport, or if you're in, I was in North Carolina where that happened. It's all nationwide, and the app has contact with all the businesses in the country, and they send it right to their company. So it's amazing. Amen? So let's do that. Amen? How many of y'all need a miracle today? Man, a lot of y'all. God, can you handle that? Lord, we thank you so much that you are a supernatural God. You are not limited by our reality. You're not limited by science. You're not limited by logic. You are supernatural. You put the super in the natural. And Lord, we have people here who have financial problems. They have health problems. They have relationship problems. They have self-image problems, emotional problems. We pray that they would release that to you, that they would surrender it to you, and they would receive from you peace and hope. And in Jesus' name, we rebuke any demonic activity in our lives. You have no authority in our lives. So we command you to be gone out of our lives. And we thank you for this series, Kingdom Come. We pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. A couple things I want to say. Thank you to all the people who have received the tithe challenge and are doing it. I pray and confident that and am confident that God is blessing you. Can I get amen? And thank you for that. And all the people who have pledged. We had about 1,400 people pledge. About 800 people have started giving, so there's about 600 people who haven't started giving yet. So I want to encourage you to just fulfill your pledge there and see God bless your life. We also, if you have Miles a Minute app, which is a devotional app that I have out, we just reached 1 million views of videos last week. So that's a big milestone for us in the first 2 months. God bless you. We're so excited about that. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Word. One more time, say word. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I am not usually a joke person. I'm not. I'm just funny. I just tell funny stuff. But I don't really have a lot of pre-written jokes that I know about, but I love them. I just don't. I forget them, I guess. I don't know. But when my father was battling cancer. He passed away last year, but when he was battling cancer in Florida, he would go to this clinic, and it was basically a clinic for people who were dying. And they would put out on the seats every day jokes. So he collected them. In fact, he was telling me about them, so I went there, and I said, listen, to the nurse, can I have all the jokes you have? So she gave me literally a stack this thick of just all these jokes, and some of them, I just cry. I want to read one to you. There's something to think about when negative people, this is why I don't like joke, I can't read. This is something to think about when negative people are doing their best to rain in your parade. So remember this story next time someone who knows nothing and cares less tries to make your life miserable. We all have those people in our life, don't we? Okay. Some of y'all are those people, so we're glad you're in church. A woman was at her hairdresser's getting her hair styled, her hair did, for a trip to Rome with her husband, and she mentioned to her hairdresser the trip. The hairdresser responded, Rome? Why would anyone want to go there? It's crowded and dirty. You're crazy to go to Rome. So how are you getting there? And the lady said, we're taking Continental. And her reply was, she says, wow, Continental, they are horrible. The planes are old, their flight attendants are ugly, and they're always late. By the way, if you're a flight attendant at Continental, you are beautiful, okay? So where are you staying in Rome, the hairdresser said. Oh, we'll be staying at the exclusive place called The Test. The hairdresser said, don't go any further. I know that place. Everyone thinks it's going to be something special and exclusive, but it's a dump. Well, we're going to go see the Vatican and maybe go see the Pope. Hairdresser said, oh, yeah, whatever. Everybody wants to see the Pope. You and 1 million other people trying to get in. He'll look like a little ant when you see him. But good luck on that lousy trip. You're going to need it. A month later, the woman comes back to the hairdresser to get her hair did again. And hair did is an expression, by the way. It's an urban colloquialism. A month later, the woman came to the hairdresser, and the hairdresser said, "Hey, how was that trip to Rome?" And the lady said, "It was wonderful. Not only were we on time on one of Continental's brand new planes, it was overbooked and they bumped us to first class. The food and the wine were wonderful, and I had a handsome 28-year-old steward who waited on me hand and foot." Hey! "The hotel was great. They just finished a $5 million remodeling job, and it's a jewel, the finest hotel in the city, and they too overbooked and apologized to us and gave us an upgrade, owner's suite, at no extra charge." "Well," muttered the hairdresser, "that's all well, good, and fine, but I know you didn't get to see the Pope." "Well, actually, we were quite lucky because we toured the Vatican, and a Swiss guard tapped me on the shoulder and explained that the Pope wanted to meet some of the visitors, and if I would like to step into this private room and wait, and the Pope would personally greet me." Sure enough, 5 minutes later, the Pope walked through the door. I shook his hand, I knelt down, and he spoke a few words to me. And the lady said, "Oh, yeah, what did he say to you?" He said, "Who did that lousy hair job on your head?" How many of y'all want that joke? You know, we all have those people in our life who everything's negative. No matter what you say, they turn into, "Oh, it's raining. Oh, it's going to be a flood. Oh, it's sunny. You're going to get sunburned." It's always a negative, negative, negative. And God, on the other hand, is all about positive. And when God looks at you today, he thinks good thoughts. He doesn't necessarily approve of what you have done, but he wants to get you past it. God's love for you doesn't mean he approves of everything you've done. It just means he's still committed to helping you get better. But not only does God want best for you now, we're going to look at today as we continue our series called Kingdom Come. We're going to look at today that from the beginning when God created us, he created us for something amazing. That in his original design, he says, "I am going to usher in the kingdom on earth through you." That your job, that you were created, you and I were created and designed that we would fulfill the will of God in heaven on earth. That is an amazing thing. Amen? So I want to look at, let's do a little review. Because last week, if you weren't here, we started this series. I'm going to move my podium over here for a minute. Okay? I got stuff flying all over the place. Okay, so right here we have a couch. And we talked last week, if you weren't here, that we said that there is a living room starter kit here. Can I get an amen? Okay, so we all agree that there is a living room. It's a real couch, a real rug, a real table, magazine lamp. We established that it really is here, correct? And we also established that someone had to design it. Someone designed the couch, the pillows, put the pattern on the pillows, designed the rug, designed the lamp, designed the magazine, all the pages, all the colors and words and pictures. Someone had to do all that, that those things didn't do that to themselves. Can I get amen? Okay, so we all agree that I couldn't convince you, I don't think, that those things made themselves or that those things designed themselves and that those things placed themselves here on this stage in this period, especially in this pattern by themselves. I couldn't convince you of that. Isn't that correct? Some of y'all are like, "This is a trick." It's not a trick. How many of y'all were not here last week? How many of you were not here last week? Okay, so hopefully you're following this. That this is not a trick. That there is a living room here and that the living room did not design itself and it did not place itself there. Can I get amen? Amen. Okay. The reason being is that the living room is limited. It's a limited object. In other words, it has a limitation of what it can do. In other words, the couch's limit is that it could simply sit here. It can't think, it can't talk, it can't design, but it just sits here. So someone else had to give it its purpose and give it its design. All limited objects have a limit. And someone more intelligent had to design it and make it and put it here. The same principle applies to the universe. That includes the sky, the stars, the moon, the earth, the planets, and everything on the earth, including you and me. We are limited objects. And if I couldn't convince you that this designed itself or that this came from nothing, that someone intelligent had to design this and put this here, certainly you have to believe and accept or you contradict yourself that someone more intelligent than you and all the universe had to make it. Because you contradict yourself if you can say something this simple couldn't put itself here, but something so complex as the universe and us
could put ourselves here. So you have to say evolution doesn't work, that an intelligent designer had to make it, because nothing makes nothing. That's a scientific fact. It's unscientific for nothing to make all of this. It's unscientific, it's unlogical. It just doesn't make sense. And so what we talked about last week is that God is the one who created everything. And by the way, just as the designer determines the design and the purpose, and the designer expresses his own purpose in its design of the couch and the lamp, so God, the designer, has expressed his will in creation. In other words, what we see in what God originally intended in creation was God's will. He says, I want to have trees. I want to have fruits and vegetables and dirt and seas and bugs and fish and birds and animals. That is my will. Matter of fact, we're going to look in the Bible, we're going to look at that God's will was done on earth in creation, and it was good. Look at chapter 1. Let's do a little review from last week. Chapter 1 says in verse 4, and God saw, Genesis 1:4, God saw that the light was good and divided the light from the darkness. Everyone say good. So we're going to look at the fact that everything God made was good. It was what he said. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look at verse 10. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Everyone say good. Verse 12. The earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in and of itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Say good. Very good. Look at verse 17. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Say good. Verse 21. God created the sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Say good. Verse 25, and God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, every creep that creeps on the ground according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Say good. And by the way, a creep is a little bug or your boyfriend. Verse 31, we got girl creeps too, but verse 31, God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God said, here's what I would like to create, and God did it, and it was so. So we see that God's will was done on earth as it is in heaven when he made the earth. We're also going to see that God's will was done when he made man, when he originally made man. Okay, look at chapter 1, verse 26. It says, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. God, and look at verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him, male and female. So God's will was done when he created the earth and the stars and all the animals. God's will was done when he made you and I in his image. Say made in God's image. I wrote a book recently, last year, came out called God in the Mirror, and it's based on the fact that God made us so much like him that when he looked at us, it'd be like he was looking in the mirror. God's intent for you and I is that when he would look at you, it'd be like he was looking in a mirror, that you would talk like him, that you would say kind things like him, gracious things like him, you would be patient like him, you would love like him. God made you in his image, I-M-A-G-E. You are individually unique is the I. There's no one like you. Everybody say, I am marvelous. You are marvelous. If you ever look at yourself in the mirror and you think, man, I am so special. And by the way, let's see how honest you're going to be. How many of you have ever looked in the mirror and say, I am marvelous? You know. And when you wake up, maybe you might not think that. That's why you brush your teeth and wash your face and get your hair all did up. But you know you are marvelous, and there's no one like you. That is a biblical fact that God says, I'm going to make you one of a kind, because God is the creator of creativity. He is so creative, he never has to make two people the same. He is so creative, he never has to make two flowers the same. He never has to make two zebras the same. every tree and every plant has its own DNA. It's number coded. Like every living thing is number coded. That's how creative God is. You could take a leaf off a tree and take it all the way around the world and trace it back to that same tree. That's how creative God is. You are individually unique. The M in image is that you are a moral mirror. You and I were created with the ability to understand God's morality, to interact with God's morality, and to teach his morality, and to reflect his morality, not to be a morality maker. I'm going to decide my own good. A, we were given the authority to rule, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. G, we were created to be God's friend, to live in a relationship with God. And by the way, God created you in his image, which means he gave you a personality like he has a personality. He gave you the ability to love like he has the ability to love. He gave you the ability to have a relationship with each other and relationship with him. See, God is a person. A person your personhood is the invisible aspect of you that has the ability to have relationship, that has the ability to love, communicate, have passion and empathy and sadness and joy. That's your personhood. This is just the shell of your person. If I cut off your arms and legs, you're still a person. If you can't speak or see or hear, you're still a person. Your person is the invisible part. God said God is a person, and he says we're going to make man in our image so they can be persons with us, so they can have relationship with us. God made you to have relationship with him. He didn't make you to do successful things on earth necessarily. He made you so, this is amazing, God made us so we can enjoy what he was already enjoying. Loving relationship. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had loving relationship with each other. And they said, let's make man in our image, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, so they can enjoy what we are enjoying. That's a powerful thing. God just wants to be your daddy. You know, my son is getting ready to have a son. My son's name is Miles, and my grandson's name is going to be Miles. I don't know why that's funny, but it's true. I can't wait. I'm going to own that child. I say this, you know, it's going to be their child, I understand it, but we always joke and say, listen, when he's born, just give him to me, and I'll give him back after he gets out of high school, and then you can pay to college, but I'll take care of everything else. We're not having that child so he can honor us and worship us. We're not having that child. They're not having a child. We don't have children so they can honor. Well, we shouldn't have children so they can honor us. We should have children so we can love them. God created us so he can love us, and he created us in his image so we can love him back. That's the purpose. So I-M-A-G-E, the last letter E, is that we're eternal. God made us to be eternal so we can have a relationship with him eternally. So that was his original intent. We're going to make man in our image. So when God made man, his will was done on earth as it was in heaven. That is exactly what I wanted. And then he said in verse 26, look what he said. My will is going to be done through man. Okay, let me back up. Let me say this real slow. God's will was done when he made the earth. God's will was done in man, when he made man in his image. And then he's going to say, I want my will to be done through man. This is our mission, is that God's will would be done through us. Even today, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven through you. This is what we're going to learn for the rest of the year, is how God's will can be done on earth through us. Not that we would just learn some information and go to church, but that God would see his heart and his passion and his ideas executed through our life. That is it is an honor to be picked for that. God doesn't use dogs to express his will. They were talking the other day, I saw this on KUSI, that means it's true. That when you yell at a dog, they have no idea what you're saying. Don't ever do that again. They're like, oh, I have no idea what you're saying. God made us to have an idea what he's saying, like no other animal. Now, we can train animals to do certain things, but we uniquely were made in the image of God to have a relationship with God. Look what it says in chapter 1 of Genesis. It says, God said, let us, verse 26, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Everyone say dominion. Dominion. Over the fish of the sea, the bird of the air, the cattle, and every creep that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created a male and female. And God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, the birds, and every creep that creeps on the earth. Three things. God's will is done through us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven through us by, number one, multiplying and filling the earth with other God image bearers. Now, I want you to imagine and understand, Adam and Eve had no sin. They were in the image of God. Some people believe that they were clothed in light. Two minutes on that. There's a study called biophotonics, which basically says light is emitted out of living things, and you could actually measure the health of fruits and vegetables by measuring the light that comes out of them. Light comes out of people. If you ever see a woman get married and she says she glows, or a woman who's in love, you could tell she's like, she's glowing. Compared to a dead person, that's like dust. The theory is, the belief is that Adam and Eve, before they sinned and their light was muted, they were so bright they couldn't see they were naked. And then they were sinned, their light was muted, and they saw they were naked. It talks about taking being the light of the world literally. God said, Adam and Eve, you are the light of the world. You are without sin. You and I have relationship. I want you to be fruitful and make babies and fill the earth with people who have my image as well, who will govern the earth according to my will. This is God's original intent. I want you to think about it today. The reason we make disciples is to be fruitful and multiply. We need to be, as Christians, fruitful and multiply in disciples. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and command them to obey everything I taught you. It's the same principle. Make disciples that will govern the earth according to my will. We all need to be in that process. Number two, it says, have dominion. Everyone say dominion. He said, Adam, when my daughter was born, my oldest daughter, first child, we made a room for her in our house. And we painted all these different colors. We made the room look like a salad just so she can be stimulated by all these colors. We put a little mobile in her crib, and she had a nice, clean crib. We had barbed wire around the room. We had rocket launches, cameras, and speakers. And we were creating this environment. Everyone say environment. We were creating an environment where, in our mind, we just wanted her to be safe and comfortable. But really what we were doing, not knowing it, is that we were creating an environment where she can grow to be what God called her to be. When God told Adam and Eve to have dominion, what he was telling them was, look, the earth is, the environment is good. I made it work. The plants breathe out oxygen. You breathe in oxygen. You breathe out CO2. The plants breathe in CO2. The birds live in the trees, so I made the trees high in different levels for different kinds of birds to live different kinds of heights. The fish are in the ocean. They can breathe oxygen out of the water. Everything works, and it is good. Adam, understand this. Everything works, and it is good, just like I said. When I'm giving you dominion, what I am telling you, I am not giving you license to mess it up. I am not giving you license to do with it what you want. I am telling you to make sure it continues to honor me, that my will continue to be done in what I made. I want you to manage it. To have dominion means to exercise authority or power over something so it continues, in God's context, to honor and glorify God. God said to you and me, I am giving you the earth. I want you to have dominion. And I want you to treat it like I would treat it. Fellas, when God says you're the head of your house, what that means is that your house, everyone in your house should be living in an environment where they can grow to be the person God called them to be. God has not said you are to lord over your wife and make her your servant. You are to create an environment where your wife grows into the person God called her to be, where your kids grow into the person God called them to be. That is our job. If you're a coach, if you're a boss, if you're a teacher, your job from God is that His will would be done on your team. His will would be done in your classroom, where the people in that environment would grow into the person God called them to be. Does that make sense to you? So He said to Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve, I already made the world good. The world is exactly what I want. I want you to manage it so it continues to fulfill my purpose. That is His awesome responsibility He has given to you today. There's an LA school district, LA prison system, not the school district. They have a program called Hug a Thug. Hug a Thug. And it is a program where they take these inmates who have been accused of domestic violence and they put them in this nice environment. They have classes, they have nice beds, nice linoleum floors, clean tables, clean this, clean that. And the environment is a positive environment. And they treat them with respect and they teach them how, you know, coping skills, etc. But the environment is better than what the prison where they live. And they noticed that these inmates' attitudes changed because of how they were being treated. They were in a God environment. Whoever ran the class and the program, whether they figured it out biblically or not, they were exercising God's dominion. They were saying, we were going to make this like as much what God would want as possible. Our job is to have dominion and say, Lord, I want to create environments that honor you. When people walk into those environments, they experience you. The reason we sing, the reason we have the lights and et cetera, is to try to create, and by the way, the million-dollar thing is the Holy Spirit in the room. When you come in here, that you walk into the presence of God. If we miss that, we miss it. And when you come to church, you should come into with an expectation you are going to experience God, because we want to create an environment where you experience God, because if you experience God, God will take care of everything else. He'll take care of everything else. So our job is to have dominion over the earth, have dominion over ourself, where God's will is done in our attitude. My wife and I were having an argument one day, and I was all jawed up, and then we heard a knock on the door, and it was little kids from the neighborhood selling cookies. And all the kids we knew them. We had a little cul-de-sac at the time, and they were all our friends, and they were like, Mr. Miles, Mr. Miles. And so I had to do my Bruce Lee and get my attitude, and just bring it down. Because I had to get control of this environment. I don't want people walking into this space and not experiencing the kingdom of God. Your job is to create the kingdom of God right here. And so God says, Adam and Eve, you guys are made without sin. You understand my mind, my heart. We have perfect relationship. We have perfect communication. I've made everything good. I am now entrusting you with the earth to have dominion and care for it. Does that mean we should take care of the environment? Absolutely. That's why when you see pictures of people doing dog fighting and dogs all chewed up, that's why it bothers you, because it's against nature. It's against what God made us to do. We're supposed to care for what God made, because what God made honors Him. Are you with me? So God says, my will was done in creation. My will was done when I made you. Now I want my will to be done through you. And the second thing He said was, I want you to subdue the earth. Subdue. Look what it says, verse 26. Let us make man our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth and everything that creeps on the earth. And God created him in His image, male and female, He created them. And God said, be fruitful and multiply, have babies, have righteous babies. Fill the earth and subdue it. Everyone say subdue. Now, We're going to see next week the devil. When God made the earth, he said it was good. So the assumption is the devil wasn't there yet. He obviously did not create the devil and put him there. He created an angel that became a devil. So the earth was good at this point. But at some time, the devil was cast to the earth, we know. Jesus saw the devil be cast to the earth, and the devil took a third of the angels with him, which became demons. We're going to look more into that in the coming weeks. And the devil would end up tempting Adam and Eve. But before that, everything was perfect. And God said to Adam and Eve, I want you to have dominion. I want you to govern the earth. In other words, I'm giving you the intelligence to govern the earth. I'm giving you the intelligence to have dominion over everything. But I'm also commanding you and giving you the ability to subdue and enslave. But enslave what? There were no thorns. The earth was growing. There was no need to till the ground. It was, I mean, in toil anyway. Everything was growing fine. Everything, there was no conflict between the animals. But then there came a day, which we're going to see next week, where Adam and Eve would confront an enemy called the devil. And God said, I am giving you the ability now and the authority now to subdue even evil. Now, why this is so important? Because God would never call them to do and challenge them to do and command them to do something they could not do. That you are going to be tempted by the devil. Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, it says that sin is knocking at your door and its desire is to rule over you, but you must control it. You must subdue it. The Bible says in James chapter 4 that resist the devil and he will flee. You and I have been created to subdue the earth and have dominion. And even when the devil comes to tempt, God says, I've even given you the ability to subdue that. Now this is so critical for you to understand. Because there is so much evil in the world and pain in the world, and sometimes we can feel so defeated by it. How many of you have ever felt defeated by the junk in your life? You feel so defeated by it, and you feel so doomed by it. You're like, God, just please come back. I can't do this. And God says, yes, you can. I created you in my image. I created you in my image. The devil is weaker than me. You have the ability to subdue Satan in your life. In other words, you have ability to overcome your issues. I used to do cocaine every day. I used to smoke marijuana every day. I don't anymore. I used to curse. I don't anymore. I used to do blah, 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 blah. All the stuff we talk about, all that. I don't anymore. Why? Because the Spirit of God, I'm not saying I'm perfect, by the way. The Spirit of God, the Bible says in 1 John 3:8, that Jesus came to overcome the works of the devil. And so when God made Adam and Eve, he says, Adam and Eve, you have everything you have necessary to have dominion and subdue the earth. And we're going to see next week that they sinned and gave up that ability. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ says, I want to give that authority back to you. Today, you have an opportunity to say, Lord, I want your will to be done in my life where I have the ability to have dominion over my world, that I would have your mind, your heart, and I also would be able to subdue the devil in my life. You have temptation. You have lusts and desires and thoughts and pride, and you feel defeated and enslaved by it. God says, no, I want to give you the power to overcome it and subdue it. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And where does that power come from? It comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead. And he says, I have all authority and dominion in heaven and on earth, and I want to give that back to you so you can exercise authority in your life. The day I gave my life to Christ, Christ said, you don't have to do cocaine anymore. Now, not everybody stops doing an addiction in one day. I happen to do. It doesn't matter whether it comes in, or say it doesn't matter. It could come over time. You still have victory. You can have victory over your thoughts. You can have victory over your over your discouragement. You can have victory over your depression because it's a spiritual component. God says, I have commanded you to subdue the works of the devil. The question is, do you believe that? The reason I wanted to start here in Genesis because it's so important for us to understand God's original intent and how you were designed. It's like buying a Ferrari and you're driving at 30 miles an hour. You're like, no, this car is designed to go 200 miles an hour. You were designed to have dominion. You were designed to walk and express the image of God on earth. You were designed to subdue even the temptation of the devil in your life. But without Christ, you can't do that. So in a minute, you're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Give me back the authority that you had created me to have so I can walk in victory and not in defeat. So many Christians are walking around in defeat going, oh, God, save me today. He's like, I don't want to just save you. I don't want you to survive. I want you to thrive. So right now, I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes. In all the campuses, God created you for greatness. Greatness meaning that you would be an instrument of His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Having dominion over the earth, being fruitful and multiplying disciples, but subduing temptation, subduing the lure of the devil in your life, the lies of the devil. God would never command you to do anything he is not willing to equip you to do. And there are some of you today, you are defeated. The devil is beating you down. He is subduing you. You are not subduing him. His lies have dominion over you. You don't have dominion over it. And if you would like to begin to subdue the devil in your life, put him under your feet, have victory over his lies, I want you to pray this prayer. It's a prayer of surrender to Jesus because it's in Jesus that we have that authority. It's in Jesus that we have that power. It's in Jesus we have that victory. So right now, in the privacy of your heart, if you're saying, yes, I need to subdue Satan in my life, I want you to pray this prayer in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe you have called me to subdue evil in my life. I believe you want to give me authority over evil in my life. And I believe that authority comes from Jesus. I believe he died and rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I receive authority from heaven over the power of sin in my life. I receive your forgiveness. I receive freedom from spiritual bondage. I receive eternal life, and I receive abundant life. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. By standing, you are proclaiming your victory, your forgiveness, your freedom, your liberation from the lies of the evil one. You are claiming that you are trusting God to give you the authority to subdue the devil in your life. By faith, you are receiving this. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to fulfill your original intent in my life, I just want you to stand up to your feet right now and acknowledge that. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you.